What's going on, YouTubeites? Welcome to Lords of the Longbox Fantasy Cover Price Top 10 for the week ending 4/28/2024. While you guys are congregating, let's just say the word, shall we?
Thanks.
Show ripping with three men in the basement tea right here.
JB, like it?
It's good to people.
Hey, hi everybody. How you doing? I'm not used to the Tuesday thing, but thanks for having me tonight. I haven't really read the list, so I don't know.
Much easier read than the Shaker Show.
These are much shorter. Plus, yeah. This is not an Ofer list. I'm seeing books on here that definitely are going to be in people's collections. So sit back.
And it changed up a little bit too. All mutants. I mean, it's still heavy mutants, but not all mutants. Speaking of mutants, Laura, see what's gonna be.
All right. So first off, I'm so glad JB's here. I'd never get to be on with you anymore because it's like our schedules are offset. Secondly, while at C2E2, I did have a lot of people coming up saying that they knew the Lords. They recognized me, but the majority of it was, oh yeah, I watched for JB, or I like to watch JB. It was
get out of here.
So many fans. I'm like, yeah, JB's great. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I only watch because I like the way he reads and I like seeing JB. Like, JB's great.
The way he reads.
It was fans. I was like, well, I mean, I'll take a picture with you, but you just put JB's face like on my body and maybe that'll work. A
disturbing sight to see. I mean, JB, but yeah, man, we jokingly told people to just go up there and say, hey, I want to use the Lord's discount for something. One guy did, and another guy just said he watches. And what happened, Laura?
So the way that transaction kind of worked out is I ended up just giving him a Jenny Frison book. I was like, just take it, you know, you're a Lord's guy. So, and he said he had won a previous contest, and he never claimed his prize. So I'm like, now we're square, right? About, I don't know, 30 minutes later, he comes back to the booth and he had waited in line, had her sign it and handed it back to me and said, give it away on a Lord show. And I was like, well, awesome. There you go. Pay, yeah, it was so nice.
Fantastic. Yes.
That is awesome. You know who this person was?
Okay, I feel like such a shithead because I can't remember his name. But if you're in the chat right now, say something because I am so sorry. It was a long weekend and there were so many people coming up.
Yeah, you know what?
When
I used to meet people and they used to come up to me and they would give me their handle, I'm like, dude, there's no way I can remember, you know.
Wait, is it Raul?
The comics do 1725962 or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. When they would tell me their tag names, I knew who they were. But when they said their real names, I had no clue.
Raul?
Okay, so there you go.
All right. Raul, was that what? Did you look like a Raul?
Yeah. No, he had a really nice smile.
There you go, Raul. Zolhal the Zoltron, whatever. hit up. So we could wait. Do you have the book or does he have the book?
I have it. He handed it right back to me. And I was like, oh my God, like I just gave this to you and you went and did all that just so we'd have a giveaway tonight.
Okay. So, thank you much, Raul. That's so cool of you. What book was it?
It's the Jenny Frizzin Batgirl. It was we sold out at the con.
C2E2 books, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a C2E2 book. And she signed it.
How did Bird City do with C2E2?
We sold out.
They killed it.
Damn right you did.
Yeah. We sold out of most of our Feral books by the end of day two. There was two of them that were completely gone. But by the end of Sunday, we came home. I can't even make this up. We came home with 7 books left over.
That is awesome. That's the primary goal, is to not bring anything home.
Right. At the end, we were like really wheeling and dealing, trying to move as much inventory as we could. But people were just fantastic. And it took 10 years for something like this to happen. But Anthony and I... We did it the honest way.
Say it was the Lord's bump, but you know, it was more of a cover price.
It was totally because of you. It was completely because of you.
It was cover price too, you know.
Cover price helped, yeah.
Yeah, so
Jenny Frizzin.
Speaking of which, this is brought to our friends over Cover Price for your price guides, collections, and trends. Head on over to coverprice.com. Also, use discount code of LOTOB to get 15% off anytime you see Laura just out and about. Just if you see her,
people come up and like, TiVo, you have something for me. And I'm like, oh shit, what did TiVo tell you guys?
If you just see her driving, just put up a sign that says LOTOB and you'll get.
Something for my car.
Boys and girls, this is the top 10 selling books for the week ending 4/28/29. Both in units sold and a percentage and price jump. So let's get right to it. What do we have for the runner-up?
I'm excited about this. Everybody's talking about Dave Stevens, so it's kind of the perfect fit after the con. I dug some out. I'll show you guys later. Number 11, Cheval Noir, number 1 from Dark Horse. This came out in 1989. Another Dave Stevens cover, another bombshell. Well, 3, but the point stands. Dave Stevens has been on fire lately with diverse covers routinely hitting the aftermarket and causing a stir. This is yet the latest to do so. We tracked 9 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 75% with a high sale of $1,200 for a CGC 9.8. Holy hell. And a current raw near mint fair market value of $125. I went to about different booths, and every booth I went to, they're like, I've been cleaned out of Dave Stevens stuff. I have nothing.
Yeah. I can't put a thumb on it when it started. Cheval Noir, number 1, coming in at number 1 at CGC 9.84.
It started with a documentary, I think. I think that's where it started.
It started with you mentioning that documentary.
Jeez.
Maybe that's where the frenzy started.
Oh my God. Are we doing this already? Yeah, so it is a great Dave Stevens documentary on Amazon Prime. If you have to watch it, if you didn't have to pay for it, it's like $2.99. You know how some movies are only like $3 or $4, just buy it. Come on now. And it tells the life of Dave Stevens, who was, you know, cut short just like Michael Turner. And that's another great documentary as well.
Nah, man.
Boom! 2-for. The Michael Turner documentary as well as is awesome. It's like all the great documentaries are guys that have passed away at a young age or something. You know what I mean? But we shall go on. Let's go to the top 10.
All right. So now this is the official top 10 list. By the way, if you've got one of these, make sure you comment in the live chat. And if you're watching on the rewind, comment your favorite cover of the night and make sure you are subscribed to the channel.
Any comment and you could win. You could say, you know, Lord suck and you could win. Right? Yeah.
Right. Plus, we got to make sure you're following Bird City Comics. I mean, they are putting out some fantastic stuff. Make sure you're checking them out.
I got to bring you to the next con, and we'll do even better. If I have JB working the booth, oh man.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm any con you want to.
I guess I'm just nothing. I'll just stand off. Oh, no. All right.
So, Tim, you're going to be on a panel somewhere, right? Talking comics. All right. At number 10, we've got X-Men Forever issue number 2, the Arthur Adams 1 in 25 variant. Now, Arthur Adams covers have always been a top collector's item. With the recent success of X-Men 97, X-Men covers have been rising in popularity, and Mystique is also a top-selling X-Men cover character. Combine them, and what have you got? You've got a fantastic cover art. This book is also a retailer incentive, a 1 in 25 ratio cover, and the rarity adds to the desire to collect this cover and show off some amazing Adams artwork. Now, we track 23 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 21% with a high sale of $50 for a raw near mid copy. And the current raw near mid fair market value, wait for it, $41.
This is a repeat. We've had this on the list before,
Tim,
right?
You are muted. And if you had, Tim is muted on your bingo card.
Cover it now.
All right. X-Men Forever number 2 art, Adams 1 in 25. It looks familiar because it's a very familiar pose that Art Adams does. It's always like this kind of side thing. You know what I mean? Faint, like he did the one for Firestar. That's my
favorite. Yeah, I feel like we've seen this before, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, but Art Adams has been around for a long time.
It was a magic.
I didn't realize Art Adams is 61 years old. You know that?
Do you think we're going to get to the point now where these other do they have to be dead like Dave Stevens for people to start collecting their covers? I hope not
with Art Adams and like Alex Ross and some other cats, you know, they're still great. But you know, the thing about the ones that have passed away is they're not going to make any more stuff. So it's like, that's why it's so cherished to go out and find what they did. And well, Michael Turner and Aspen, though, they, you know, apparently they had like pages and pages of shit just laying around that they were still doing covers up to like, you know, 5 years, you know. If you go to a show, go to Aspen Comic and look at the Michael Turner portfolio. It is pretty awesome. And they commission out his artwork still. So, you know, and it goes
he's
toward.
He's still out there, folks. He was at C2E2. Get over there. Get an autograph.
Yeah. for Michael Turner. Yeah. All right. What do we have at number 9? Oh,
okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is kind of cool. Next up, we have Harley Quinn number 39. This is the Mindy Lee 1 in 50 ratio that just came out. What a great cover from artist Mindy Lee. Harley Quinn is known for her wild covers, and this one is on the list. The cover depicts the character in a colorful spacesuit facing off against robotic minions. It is a great cover and is also a retailer incentive variant, making it even harder to find. We tracked 8 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 63%, with a high sale of $150 for a raw near mint copy, and a current raw near mint fair market value of $124. So well over double ratio. That's pretty cool.
Damn.
Yeah. I dig this cover. It's a very reminiscent of like sci-fi from the 50s. Like, you know,
I was looking for.
Like
that
laser gun. Hey, Raul, was Arthur Adams' booth, was it packed? Or did he have a big giant line? Or I was just wondering. I mean, because
Chip Zdarsky did. His was like around the corner crazy.
Really? More than Arthur Adams? Man, did you get to Art Adams' booth?
I didn't. The only artist I got to see Jeff DeCall. I went by Mark Brooks, and I saw obviously Jenny Frizzin. I sat by hers, but I was busy, man. I was working the whole time.
Jeff DeCall was all up on you. God, he was hugging you up.
He was wonderful. Man. He was great.
A little bit too much.
As a matter of fact,
God, Lord's going to come.
There's a lot of pictures of Laura on Instagram from C2E2. Everybody was happy to take.
We're
going to
do it for Ant. We're going to be like, hey, DeCall, come here. Smack. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he was great. He's really nice, and I want to work with him, so yeah.
Paul's the best. Never mind. All right. Number 39 from Mindy. I don't think I've ever heard of Mindy Lee. She,
I know, me either. I was like, who is Mindy Lee? I'll have to look her up.
Yeah. Is she a new one? Yeah. The next thing we shall see. All right. And a DC book cracks the top 10 for a change. Not only once, but
no. This one's not DC.
That's amazing.
But at number 8, we've got Something is Killing the Children, issue number 36, the Stanley Art Germ Lao Thank You variant from Boom Studios. Art Germ is one of the most sought after cover artists in the industry today. His artwork has a huge fandom. Moreover, Something is Killing the Children is one of the most popular series Boom Studios has ever produced. Pair these two factors with a limited retailer thank you variant, and you have a highly desirable cover to chase. We tracked 52 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 100% with a high sale of $75 for a raw near mint copy. Wait a minute. And a current raw near mint fair market value of $31.
So Something is Killing the Children, number 36. Do you remember, like, I don't know how long ago, these were just dominating our list, something when it first came out, supposedly yeah.
The first 12 issues were just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be option for Something, and then they did a spinoff of Something. What was it called? The House of Slaughter? What was it called?
House of Slaughter.
Yeah, the House of Slaughter. So, you know, I should get the trade and read it, because, you know, I heard nothing but
I got the hardcover. This is a fantastic read.
Yeah. So a retailer thank you. So I'm wondering how many thank yous they give for each retailer. Is it just one? I'm assuming.
I know. I'm curious if I have one and I just don't know. We got back to all these boxes. Yeah. So I'll go dig through and see what I can find.
All right. TiVo and JB got the pick we took at C2E2. Oh,
nice.
There you go. Yeah, cool. Man.
Hi, Lenny, by the way. Hi.
I know. Laura is the superstar of the C2E2 show, apparently. All right. So offers on the list so far, but I think here's your chance to get on the board.
All right, let's take a look. Number 7, we have the Uncanny X-Men 221 from 1987. Mr. Sinister is playing a huge role in the latest X-Men series. The animated show depicts Mr. Sinister as one of the main villains in the series. Since the show's announcement, Mr. Sinister was rumored to be in the show. Fans did not know his role's importance, whether he would be a villain of the week or a mainstay player, but it turns out that Mr. Sinister is playing a huge role, and fans are swarming to pick up his first appearance. We tracked 25 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 34%, with a high sale of $60 for a raw copy and a current raw near mint fair market value of $400. Wait, that can't be right. I think that's a typo. I don't know what the near mint fair market value would be.
I bet you that's a dollar sign. So
$35.
Yeah, because number 4 is the dollar sign.
Which is still really, really cheap for this book. I mean, obviously, there was a large print run of these as well. I mean, in 1987, X-Men was huge, right? I mean, so much so they spawned off and just created a title called X-Men, The Next Factor, and then New Mutants and everything else. Last week, I said, like, obviously Mr. Sinister is going to be here, but, you guys are all caught up, right?
I'm not.
I don't want to spoil it then.
So no, go ahead. It's fine. I don't mind.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Bastion shows up on this list because he shows up in the last episode, I do believe. And it seems like he is actually Sinister is working for him, maybe.
There was already some spec about that, so that's not really a spoiler.
Yeah, so we'll see if it shows up on today's list. But at number 7, we have Uncanny X-Men number 221, Raw Dog, for $60. What do you have for number 6? Whoa.
Oh man, this one's dope. Damn, by the way,
that's cool.
Time to pander a little bit. Shout out to the live chat. 80 plus strong in the live. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you hit the thumbs up and you're subscribed to the channel. All right, next up at number 6, we've got Marvel Team Up, issue number 14. From 2006. Now, in this issue, we see Invincible hop through the multiverse and end up in the main Marvel comic universe. He assists Spidey and the Avengers in a battle against Doc Ock. As most fans know, the rights to IP in comics vastly differ from those in film rights. It looks like Amazon didn't have the right to use Spider-Man, but they still handled the multiverse hop in their own way. Instead of running into our favorite wall crawler, Invincible hops the multiverse and ends up assisting Agent Spider in a battle against Professor Ock. It's an elegant way of dealing with this pivotal moment while also navigating legal restrictions over Marvel IP. Fans of this moment wanted to revisit the original team up and are picking up tons of copies with this great event. Copies of this great event. Sorry. We track 19 copies sold, a 7-day trend of 63% with a high sale. Holy shit. Of $775 for a CGC 9.8 copy. Where's that? Where's that, Tim?
Holy hell. He
totally led you right into it. You
didn't and he's muted. He... There we go. There he is.
I wasn't muted. I was in like, normally you do the karate chop. That's your thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh.
I do the TiVo watch and what Laura says thing. So.
All right. Where was that? And a current raw near mint bear market value of $275.
What?
That is crazy. I mean, the days of Marvel, like working with other publishers, I mean, are far and very few between if you think about it, right? I mean, you know, back in the 80s, they worked with DC. Remember, they had the whole DC Marvel. Marvel worked with Image, and then there was Amalgam that but the Amalgam was DC and Marvel characters. If they were like, you know, invented.
Didn't they have Spider-Boy in that?
No, I forgot what they had. They had some really weird shit though. Like Spider-Claw was one of them or something like that, you know.
Okay.
But the one I like is the one with Image, because it's particularly Witchblade, because there's a Michael Turner cover with Witchblade and Wolverine, which is awesome. You need to find that and get it. All right. So number six on the list is Marvel Team Up number 14, coming in at number six. All right. What do we have for number five?
Okay. So this one has a spoiler warning. So if anybody has not finished X-Men 97 and you don't want to have any spoilers, just mute for the next couple of minutes, because this one does have some. Number five, X-Men number 53 from 1996. There's been so much going on in X-Men 97 that fans are caught up in processing the events versus theorizing storylines. However, that changed with the debut of the latest episode. The ending revealed that Magneto was currently held captive by the surprise villain, Bastion. Bastion was also monitored Professor Xavier's whereabouts. Fans are speculating that Bastion is attempting to pit Magneto against the X-Men team and subsequently Professor X. This clash at such a high emotional time in mutant kind might be the catalyst to bring out the monstrous villain Onslaught. Every little detail on this show seems to matter and be purposeful. The end scene using, quote, the purple people eater, end quote, seems very intentional and foreshadowing of Marvel's purple people eater in the form of Onslaught, or so many think. If this is true, fans have quickly grabbed his first appearance this past week. We tracked 30 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 78%, with a high sale of $15 for a raw near mint copy and a current raw near mint fair market value of $5.
So this is the first appearance of Onslaught.
Right.
Onslaught.
Yeah, so... for those who don't know or weren't big into X-Men back in the day, Onslaught is like the evil personification of Professor X times 1,000, right? And he just came out of nowhere, you know. And I think it was just Charles Xavier's thought that did it. This is how powerful Charles Xavier is as a telepath. I can't wait till he gets back to Earth too, and then you can hear him say those famous words. To me, my X-Men. All right, so number five on the list is X-Men number 53. Sounds better when Laura says it. Say it, Laura.
Wait, what did I say?
To me, my X-Men.
To me, my X-Men.
Yeah,
I think JB needs to do that
more
one.
More evil, sinister, and sexy. All right.
I can't do evil and sinister and sexy. That's like an impossible trifecta.
Madeline Pryor does it. Come on now. The Goblin Queen. All right, what do you have for number four? Oh.
More spoiler, and we called this last week, didn't we? Number four, The Uncanny X-Men issue number 333, originally published in 1996. The X-Men 97 series consistently boosts X-Men keys that have been dormant for years. The latest episode ended with a surprise villain debut. The mastermind behind the attack on Genosha, Bastion. In the comic books, the genocide on Genosha was orchestrated by Cassandra Nova. Now, it looks like the showrunners are pointing the attack to Bastion and his manipulation of Bolivar Trask. Nevertheless, until the next episode drops tomorrow, we won't know Bastion's endgame. We tracked 46 copies sold at a 7-day trend of what? 468% with a high sale of $20 for a raw near mint copy and a new current raw near mint fair market value of $8. TiVo, can you still find these in those long boxes if you're digging?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not now since we talked about it, or cover prices covered it, but I mean, before it was, yeah, I mean, I don't think like people would. You know, it was the first appearance of a villain, you know, Bastion, whatever. People were like, yeah. But, you know, until it gets a live action or animated adaptation, you know what I'm saying? You know, it doesn't get a bump. And I'm hoping this X-Men series has another season to it, you know, maybe X-Men 98, something along those lines.
I'm sure it will. It's done so well. It's like, yeah, easy money.
Yeah. They're just like printing money. So let's get to it, man. All right, what do you have for number three? Oh, me and JB's favorite cover.
All right, I'm actually going to read this as JB. All right.
Ooh,
at number three, we have New X-Men 114 from 2001. Cassandra Nova has been a long rumored villain for the Deadpool and Wolverine film. This past week, the movie released a second trailer confirming the villainess's appearance in the film. The trailer also built a ton of hype around the film in general. Fans are ready to see the Merc with a Mouth join the MCU. We tracked 73 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 22% with a high sale of $20 for a raw, very fine copy. And a current raw near mint fair market value of $25.
Fantastic. Wow.
That was excellent.
Thanks. That's my favorite.
You could work for Movie Phone or something, a newbie. Or one
I'm
of
taking notes because everybody loves the way he reads. I'm like, I got to do it like him.
That's awesome. Hey,
you got a career doing voiceover work. I swear you do. Yeah, but you know what that is?
What?
Right. She's,
I right. love you, JB. You're the best.
That's awesome.
All right. You got now, JB. It's all pressure's on you. What do you got for number two?
I know. Here we go. My final read of the night. Shout out to the 100 strong in the live chat tonight. Shout out to you. If you are enjoying the show, please take a moment, subscribe to the channel, hit that thumbs up, and don't forget to hit the bell so you don't miss the next time we go live. At number two, The New Mutants issue number 98, originally published in 1991. Now, Deadpool and Wolverine continues to get closer every day as the movie approaches more and more rumors are unraveling. The latest rumor is about the movie's end credit scene. Several well-known leakers have shared that they have seen the end credit scene of the movie. The scene is being praised across the board, and it is said to completely redefine the MCU. Oh. However, nearly all of the leakers have united front when sharing any information about the scene. Nearly all information from Deadpool and Wolverine has been pretty tight-lipped, but the rumors have had enough fuel to light the fire under these keys. We tracked 41 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 24% with a high sale of $1,382 for a CGC 9.8. And never gets old. And a current raw near mint fair market value of $386.
Yeah, nice. I was just gonna say, man, I at one time had 3 9/8s and 2 9/6s, and I sold them for like the 9/8s I sold for $1,500. And so this book is dropped a little bit, but man, there are a ton of slabbed copies out there. You know what I mean? I mean, they just go on and on. So I wonder what the leak is. Oh, you know what's got to be? Gideon. Yeah, Gideon's coming.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Got to be Gideon. Or who's a chick with the freaking weird blonde hair with the weird sunglasses? Who is that?
Chick with the weird hair. No idea.
I have no idea. Is it Domino? There's some, like,
that's obscure. Not even Domino, actually, right?
That's not Domino. She doesn't have blonde hair.
No, I'm talking about the chick to the right.
Well, in this comic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying on the cover. Okay.
And we know Domino's already been on screen, done greatly by Zoe Bassett's.
They're saying Boom Boom, maybe?
Boom Boom.
Boom Boom.
Yeah. Or Boomer?
Boomer. I think Boom Boom is it. Yeah. Okay. But it's her power set is too close to, like, you know, Jubilee. You know what I mean? Boom Boom, but explosives or fireworks, whatever the fuck you do, man. All right. And of course, number one has to be, and Laura gets to read it.
Number one, we have the Dazzler from 1981. Taylor Swift cameoing as Dazzler in Deadpool and Wolverine has been the most popular rumor surrounding the film. It has been a long time since any new rumor has emerged, but the book has managed to stay on our top list just because of Swift's star power alone. However, Swift fans are now combing through her latest album, The Tortured Poets Department, to find out any information about her cameo. In the final track of her album, Clara Bow, there is a lyric that reads, "The future's bright, dazzling." This small line has been speculated as the star's way of confirming to her fans that she will be playing the character Dazzler. Obviously, this is not hard evidence, but it was enough to push this book back to the number one spot. We tracked 61 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 110%, with a high sale of $174 for a CGC 9.8 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $9.
So, Dazzler number one, you can get a 9.8 for only $175 still.
Well, hold on, you can get a raw one for under $10, man.
Yeah, it seems better to go for a near mint raw and slab it yourself.
There's been some fan made trailers that are really, really good, and look up. I think it's somewhat Screen Crush or something like that. They did a Deadpool Wolverine final, and they don't even say it's fake until you read the description of it, and it shows all these crazy cutscenes, and then it shows Dazzler as Taylor Swift as Dazzler. Which I wouldn't be mad at. She's a singer. She can act. But, you know, I can see her being Dazzler. I mean, you know, I would love her to wear that outfit. That'd
all right. Dope. Question for the panel. Question for the chat. If she actually does make the appearance as Dazzler, will this book continue to rise?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Oh, 100%. If it was actually confirmed that she was, this scene will be on our list for weeks.
Oh, yeah. Dazzler number ones to round it off. So we don't normally do this, JB, throw you on the spot, but we're going to give away that book that Raul paid it forward. So why don't you pull up the randomizer, and we're going to randomize. By the way, CGC fan, from our show where Dave Filoni was the answer and never reached out to me. So reach out to me, man, because you won these Battle Chaser books right here. Look at that.
Oh, I don't even have that anymore. I don't have any of the raw Nakayamas anymore. You literally have more books than I do when it comes to this.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm also out of books. Fulfill any more prizes, we're gonna need to
DM me and we'll take care of it, JB.
We'll take care of that.
We got you.
All right. So we're talking last Thursdays.
And Shaker's I'm gonna tell you list. What, I was a little disappointed in the live chat comments of Thursday's show. There wasn't too many comments at all. So we're running later, or else I'd normally say we'll play some music, but because Miss Laura's show was going. Laura, what are you guys going on tonight?
Oh, we're doing a C2E2 like recap, some of our favorite pickups and just some kind of insider information about the in and outs of how that con worked. There's some fun stuff to hear about. So it's going to be a chill show, just talking about C2E2.
Yeah, there you go. It's just chill.
Because the girls worked the boat booth for me. So it was kind of like a nice little near Nirvana get together.
You sold out. You had all the women working the booth.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're a madam, or you had all the girls working for you. I was like, all right. Madam,
we were just
Laura.
Drinking all day and working all day.
Laura, the dominatrix, telling you, get to work, girls.
Wow, Tim, only 20 That's comments. Sad. One of those 20 comments is going to win a signed book? Is that what you're telling me right now, Tim?
Yeah, well, we'll give him, I'll tell you what, we'll give him a chance to go ahead and hurry up and leave a comment, and I'll play some music. Laura, if you need to bounce out, you can bounce out in last words.
Yeah, I probably am going to hop off, guys. So thank you so much for anybody that came out to see 2E2 and said hello. I am so sorry JB wasn't there. I'll see what I can do next time. I'll make a printout of him or something and have him right next to me at the booth so that you guys can get a photo with him.
Nobody is sorry. I wasn't there. I was just JB. I'm like, God,
it was
damn.
All about JB. I swear. Yeah, there was nothing about it. Marty. Well, was all JB.
He's well deserving of it. So
he is. You're the best. Okay. Love right. you guys.
All right. While you guys were leave a comment. You put the link in the live chat, right?
I put the link in the live chat. I'm going to share the screen right now. We've only got 20 comments, which is kind of crazy.
Well, I'm going to play a 2-minute music thing and get another copyright ding. So it's
a another copyright ding. We'll share here.
So let's see if we get more than 20 after this 2 minutes. So head on over. So I got to get it. Yeah, I haven't dropped that song in a minute, man, since Dave Baker, Mikey Sutton. If you don't know, we used to do scoops. And anytime he had like a big scoop and drop a bomb, I'd play that clip and just it would. And then at one point it was just like 5, 6, 7, 8 bombs. That and, you know, the other one with Ron Burgundy. That one was also a classic, too, if you remember that one, where he goes cannonball. But all right, what do we got, man?
Hold on. We're going to go grab it one more time, see if we got any new ones here.
And I also want to shout out DJ Gabriel, who I saw at the Row in DTLA, downtown LA, on Sunday.
37 comments. Look at that.
Well done.
Yeah.
So if you check my IG, he is actually DJing out of a back of a VW bus. And it's so cool. And I go, is that thing moving? He goes, no, it's not mine. It belongs to the vendor there. And I was like, oh, so whatever DJ's coming, they just plug their gear into this, like, you know, this VW bug. And just check out my IG if you want to see it. It was pretty dope, man. The whole thing. They had like cool, like it was just like they had great food. I got some Cambodian wings and I asked for mild and it burned the shit out of my tongue. It was hot as hell. Also, like art vendors, clothing vendors. There's one guy who took like comic book art, real literal pages, and framed them and put them inside of a frame. And he did it for like old classic horror comics too as well. I said, damn, you're not ripping these covers. He goes, only on the ones that aren't in good condition. I said, okay, because, you know, if you're ripping off a cover off a good EC cover, you know, we're going to have words. Okay. There's going to be some furniture moving. All right, let's do this. Let's see what we got.
You ready? All right. And this is for a signed Jenny Frizen exclusive Bird City Comics C2E2 cover, which will be shipped directly from Laura, I hope, because I don't have it. Yeah. And the winning comment is, I like donuts.
All right.
5763, another hot show as always, lords.
All right, so reach out to Bird City Comics, Lady Laura, or Laura Bird City Comics, and she will ship you this book out. And remember, you got to play if you want to win. So leave a comment on this after this video post to be in the drawing to win something cool on Thursday's show, because we're all about giving back. We're all about giving back, man. All about it, man. JB, any final words?
Yeah, thanks for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm not normally the Tuesday guy. I will be here on Thursday. If you want to see the Ofer list, the true Ofer list, the Shakers list, come back on Thursday, 6 p.m. West Coast time. And don't forget, everyone,
we had a good time.
That's right, Tim.
All right. And Laura kind of almost got you there. She did a spot on JB, huh?
She crushed it.
I know.
She crushed it.
But JB, can you do this?
Come to me. I've been waiting.
Oh, my God.
We're clipping that.
No, we're not.
Let's go, baby. Put on the bingo card.
I've worked everything in the this week's show was supposed to be 30 minutes, was running on we were late anyway. So for JB, Laura, Marty, who couldn't make it, and Matt Damon, who sadly couldn't make it, he's flaking once again. We'll see you Thursday for the Shakers list. Until next time, boys and girls,
keep digging in them long boxes. Peace.
Nailed it.
Legends of the universe. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Now that's a name I've not heard.
Know that the Lord is
what's in the box?